Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from Micah verses chapter 6, verse 6 to 8, and Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. But first of all, the reading will be from the Christian Standard Bible Version. I always forget that bit. But first of all, join me in prayer. Redeeming God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, connect us to eternity through our hearing of your word, that we may know your living presence and seek to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Micah 6 from verse 6. What should I bring before the Lord when I come to bow before God on high? Should I come before him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my transgression, the offspring of my body for my own sin? Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what is the Lord requires of you to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Matthew 25 from verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you give me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you give me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me, sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me." Then they too will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness, eternal life. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
So as Franz reminded us earlier, we've been following a new series started last week by Pastor Ian, Living Upright in an Upside Down World. And we can look around us and find that is very much the case on many occasions. So this morning I want to focus on justice. Now, I could get really emotional about this stuff, and you know me, I'm a bloke, I don't get emotional much. But justice is one of those things in my heart that I struggle with more than anything else. I'm not using my notes now, I'm being personal. Because I really react against injustice. Especially injustice, and not just children, but children being exploited, you know, all these kinds of scenarios we see around the world. And sometimes even in our own community, it really upsets me. And I can get quite angry about it, to be honest with you. And I think to myself, why can't people like Elon Musk and others who have billions and billions of dollars help people more? That's me being judgmental. They have to give account for what they've done in their life, not me. I've got to give an account for what I've done. So this morning, I want to focus a bit on justice by comparing biblical justice with social justice and determining whether there is a difference and what our response should be to it. Now, I'm sure if I went around the room here, there'd be a number of you who would be able to account to me instances where you have personally been treated unjustly, where something has been perpetrated against you which wasn't right. You know, family members, we have all sorts of different contacts, and we hear it regularly where there is injustice being undertaken against us, those around us, and in our community. We see it portrayed through movies, through different documentaries. And they often urge us to, you know, do something now. They call us to action. Simon Reeve is an English adventurer writer and does a lot of television series from all around the world. Now, quite interesting guy, actually. One such series included a visit to Bangladesh. Just have a look at this.
As well as the thousands picking through rubbish, there's a hidden army of young labourers who work behind closed doors. Factory makers like to employ children because they're cheap, they have nimble fingers, and they complain as an adult. It seems obvious that these children should be stopped from working. But the old lady was wanting to understand what can happen when children here are prevented from earning a living. You see, there are foreigners who come here, and they stop the children from working here.
So I've played this video this morning just to, I guess, bring to the front of our minds some of the injustice there is in the world. But there's not a simple solution to it, is there? The complexity behind, you know, even that scenario there in Bangladesh. You know, we could say, well, the children shouldn't work. But, you know, what gets put in its place? And that's the struggle there is within humanity when it comes to this concept and thought of justice. You know, we're bombarded through social media and other platforms with accounts of the way different groups and individuals are being poorly treated or exploited. We have to exercise wisdom in potentially responding to these calls to ensure that they are what they claim to be. In other words, we just can't go out willy-nilly and just say, yes, I'll support this, I'll support that. We need to be wise. We need to focus and understand what it is that's going on. We become easily distracted from the real meaning and purpose of justice in our understanding as Christians, and must take the lead from Scripture first and foremost. We need to ask ourselves if there is a difference between biblical justice and social justice. So is there a difference? Selling a human being, abusing a child, stealing from a widow, most, if not all of us, would agree that using force or fraud to exploit the vulnerable is evil. Most of us have an innate sense of right and wrong, a conviction that oppressors should be punished and the weak protected. We want justice. Justice in its simplest form means to set things right. Yet how do we know what is right? Who defines right? Is it society at large or the culture we live in? Is there a moral law that we inherently know to follow? Well, as friends of Jesus, the answer is relatively simple. Our sense of justice is imparted to us by our Creator God. He is loving and kind and merciful, but he is also righteous, holy, and just. He is the rock. This is from Deuteronomy 32. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. And then from Psalm 89, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Faithful love and truth go before you. God is just. No matter what people around will tell us, God is just. They always blame God for everything that's going on in the world. That's because people don't want to recognise that they have a role and a part to play in that wrongdoing. But he is just. It's a part of his character, which means he is always just. He cannot be unjust, and he defines and sets the standards for justice. So we often hear about God being love and God is holy, and often we hear that more than we hear that God is just. And we may readily agree that God sets the standard for love and holiness, but he also sets the standard for justice. Pursuing biblical justice means we follow God's way to make right that which is wrong. And we look to Scripture to define what is right. Now, we don't have to look far to see that Jesus is our standard of righteousness and justice. In the earliest stages of his ministry, Jesus really announced and set the path that his mission was going to be directed towards the poor, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed. This message provided a signal that Christ's heart would be toward the lost, the least, and the last. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, died a sacrificial death, and rose again to make right that which was wrong. It is because of Jesus and his work on the cross that we can be justified and made right with God. But he also demonstrates a beautiful example for us to follow in the New Testament as one who cared for the outcast and reached out with compassion to help those most often overlooked. Jesus pursued justice. He physically and spiritually rescued those in need, healing the leper in Matthew 8 and caring for the woman caught in adultery we find in John chapter 8 are just a couple of examples. So as we look at the life of Jesus and the mandate given throughout Scripture, it is clear that the friends of Jesus are called to do justice. We are called to take action and confront evil, to care for the vulnerable, to make right that which is wrong. This mandate is not new. It's not something that's just hatched over the last couple of decades. It is not a cultural fad or something that is simply a trend in today's society. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, our call to do justice is very, very clear. Psalms 82, provide justice for the needy and the fatherless. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. And in Isaiah 1, learn to do what is good. Pursue justice. Correct the oppressor. Defend the rights of the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Micah 6:8, read to us this morning by Jake. Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what it is that the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God in all things. And lastly, from Luke 11, but woe to you Pharisees, you give a tenth of mint, rue, and every kind of herb, and you bypass justice and love for God. These things you should have done without neglecting the others. So, social justice. Social justice is a common term used today. In fact, if you were to look it up through Mr. Google, you would find all kinds of definitions about what social justice is about. One definition that I read was this: justice is promoting a just society by challenging injustice and valuing diversity. Can somebody explain to me that what that means? But that's the whole point, isn't it? On the one hand, that sounds fine. It's saying the right things. But if we look deeper to it, it's really quite vague, and it can lead to many different conclusions about what justice really looks like. Now, in contrast to social justice, which focuses on a temporal view of addressing injustice in society, biblical justice starts with the eternal in mind. It starts by seeing people as God sees them, recognizing that we are all created in the image of God, and it's incumbent upon us as followers to pursue physical and spiritual freedom for the oppressed, so others can also become what God created them to be. If we have experienced freedom, how can we not pursue freedom on behalf of others? Now, one of the things that I've discovered, and hopefully you have too over the time, certainly since Pastor Ian has been here, but over time as a Christian and being taught different things, that there are some Greek and Hebrew words that can be translated in certain ways. Now, that's not to say that the Bible has errors, not at all. It just means that when it comes to trying to find an English word that closely corresponds to the meaning of the Greek and the Hebrew, well, sometimes there can be some variances to that. For example, there is a Greek word, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce it, but there is a Greek word which is often translated as righteousness, when the same word can be also translated as justice. Now, that's an interesting thought. Let me give you a couple of examples. And these are from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He expresses this language, if you like, over half a dozen different times, making justice a dominant theme of his particular sermon. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after justice, for they will be filled. Verse 10, blessed are they who are persecuted because of justice, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be provided for you. So it's no wonder that Jesus' recorded life included so many examples of ministry to those who were on the verge and margins of society. His sense of justice was driven by his relationship with his Father and an understanding of what it was that he had to do and what he was called to do. He not only touched ostracised lepers, but he specifically touched a Samaritan leper. And there's a whole backstory behind that when you know about the relationship between Samaritans and Jews and all that kind of stuff. He not only ministered to a thief, but he redeemed a dying thief. It is this caring for the poor, the abused and abandoned, the ill and the immigrants, the widows and the orphans that constitutes justice in Christ's kingdom. Those who hunger and thirst for it will receive. And those who show mercy to others will be granted it themselves. We can read about that in Matthew 5. So according to Jesus, justice is not only for the oppressed who need it and his followers who show it, but it will also be meted out to those who oppose it and withhold it from others. So this sense of everyone receiving proper justice is brought out in Jesus' story about the rich man who selfishly lived in extravagance while Lazarus dwelt in poverty and pain sitting at his gate. It was at death that the inversion of that status took place. For the rich man went to hell, while Lazarus arrived in paradise. Now, that's not to say that all rich people are going to end up that way. Don't take that at all. The story, of course, is that we use what we have when we know that there are the poor and the afflicted at our gate, at our door. So Jesus was showing us that for multiplied millions of people, true justice will only come when we step into eternity. Jesus again emphasised this truth in his last sermon, known as the Olivet Discourse by the scholars at hand, as recorded in Matthew 25, which also Jake read to us this morning. His parable about the shepherd dividing the sheep and the goats speaks vividly to his standard of justice. Here he portrayed the great separation in eternity being determined by how people responded to the hungry, the thirsty, the strangers, the naked, the sick, and the prisoners. Those who ministered to them will be granted entrance into his future kingdom, while those who did not will be banished. So what does this ministering to those in need look like? How could we apply it to our circumstance today? Well, I mean, there is a lot of organisations around the world that could use help from volunteers in preparing meals for the hungry or providing, you know, clothing or blankets and all that kind of stuff. And we can support them in prayer and finance. We can do all kinds of things. And as a church, we support individuals and ministries around the world. But what more can we do to those on our doorstep? The New Testament makes it clear that we are not to be content with just waiting for the Lord's return to bring justice to this earth. The Epistle of James has over a dozen references to the Sermon on the Mount, and the theme of justice is echoed on just about every page. James warns against showing favouritism toward the rich while mistreating the poor. We read this. My brothers and sisters, do not show favouritism as you hold on to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and a poor person dressed in filthy clothes comes in, if you look with favour on the one wearing the fine clothes and say, well, come and sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor person, just go and stand over there or sit here on the floor by my footstool, haven't you made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him. Yet you have dishonoured the poor. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the good name that was evoked over you, the name of Jesus? Indeed, if you fulfil the royal law prescribed in the scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing well. And in a single statement, James captures the essence of justice in this manner. He says in chapter 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless, to look after the orphans, the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. As a church, we may partner with those doing the work of social justice in our communities, but let us not be confused about our ultimate mission. Our mission is not picking up another cause because it sounds appealing and potentially makes us look good. Our mission is about fully embracing the cause of Christ. The end goal of biblical justice is seeing lives reconciled to God and eternally transformed. So what can we do? One day there will be perfect justice, there's no doubt about that, and it's going to be carried out by a perfectly holy and just God. But in the meantime, unfortunately, evil is pervasive throughout our world. Children are sold into sex slavery. The poor are beaten and forced to work without pay. Human trafficking or modern-day slavery continues in every country, city and community. It's reported that there are more than 35 million slaves in the world today, more than at any other time in history. Can we, the church, lead the way and pursue justice on behalf of the oppressed, the widow, the orphan and the enslaved? If we know the one who is completely just, should we not lead the charge? Yeah, oh, good, thank you. We should. Fueled by the compassion of Christ, we engage in issues of injustice, protecting the vulnerable, fighting for those held in oppression, walking alongside the wounded, and pointing them to the one who heals, restores, and redeems. Pursuing justice starts and continues with a foundation of prayer, because we know it is his battle, not our own. It involves time and sacrifice. It means stepping out of our comfort zones and persevering with patience. It means walking in wisdom and not jumping in haphazardly or foolishness. Our just God leads and we follow as he empowers us through his Holy Spirit. So let's go. Let's engage in the fight for biblical justice. Amen.